Hello, everyone. Happy summer. I think everyone's out of school now. I think it's official. This is the Falcon Cast podcast. I'm Matt Moore, joined by managing editor of AtlantaFalcons.com, Jay Adams. Jay, we're starting a lot of the coaches and the players have broken camp. We talked about that last week, and the building's a little empty now. And now some of the staffers, some of us are starting to get a little time. But that does not mean that Falcon Cast has broken for summer vacation yet.
No, because if it did, I would hear about it on Twitter, because if the episode is like an hour late, you know, we're trying That's to good. Stay on some kind of schedule here. We tried out Thursdays, now we're here on Fridays, but, it's nice to see that many people expect it. So.
And we appreciate that. And, you know, the World Cup has changed the schedule. You know, we have to do some MLS Atlanta stuff, which has been fun out in the – we were at the U.S. game yesterday down in Atlanta. And it's just fun to see the passion for sports in this city. I think Atlanta gets a bad rap sometimes. And,
yes.
You know, I've lived here all my life, and there are some hardcore sports fans here. And,
yeah.
And it's fun to see the pride of U.S. and Mexico. I was at both those events this week, and – we got a good city, man. It's fun to see a lot of young people around. You know, really passionate. See a lot of Falcon hats, Braves hats, and then U.S. soccer jerseys.
It's absolutely, cool. Yeah. It's a great sports city, and anybody who thinks otherwise can take a hike.
Kick rocks.
Kick rocks.
All right. Well, so we had so much fun with the mailbag last week. We thought we'd do it again, and Jay asked for. For some questions, and man, Robert Chilks still does not have the zip sound effect to open the mailbag.
No,
but
right?
I'll get him on that. We gotta get that.
We gotta have that in the budget, right? Yeah, right? Somewhere.
We'll see what we can do. Okay, so let's just get right to it, Jay. There's some really good questions here. And you've also did a good job of finding easier to read Twitter handles. That doesn't mean if you have a hard Twitter handle that you won't make it, but you know, coincidentally. Easier names this week. So let's start with, this is from Rise Up Reader. With the revamped offensive line, is Matt Ryan poised for an MVP year?
I mean, this is a great question, because I think, you know, when a team comes off a 4-12 season, you don't often think of any of its star players being in a position for an MVP year the following year. But I really think Matt Ryan should be in that conversation. The Falcons went to great pains to add some pieces to the offensive line to protect him. And I really think that you've done enough up front where you're going to give this guy enough time. Now, you look back at 2013, and we don't like to look back on that year. We're all moving forward. But, you know, Matt was sacked 44 times, yet he was still the number 4 QB in the entire league in terms of passing yards and yards per game. So, I mean, when we're talking about the number of times, and that's just sacks, 44 sacks. He was hit way more than that. And you think about the pressure he was under, and then you think about he's without Julio Jones for most of the season. He's without a healthy Roddy White for most of the season. Harry Douglas is his top receiver. You know, at one point in the season, Harry Douglas is your top receiver, and then Tony Gonzalez is your second, and then you don't have a whole lot after that. So defenses are going into the game knowing, hey, I got to stop Harry, I got to stop Tony, and that's – pretty much it. We'll take our chances with Drew Davis and Darius Johnson. Well, you know, Harry was able to get his looks and Tony was able to get his looks, but I think defenses took a lot away from those two guys. And, you know, for me, I really feel like if Julio stays healthy, if Roddy comes in healthy and stays healthy, and the offensive line turns into what we all think it is going to be, there is no reason why Matt Ryan shouldn't be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, what's the stat? Is it when Sam Baker has played a healthy season, we've made the playoffs, correct? Is that?
Yeah.
I believe. And then, so you have a healthy Sam Baker, which is kind of going under the radar a little bit. You know, he had a really nice mini camp. He was healthy, running around, doing all the drills. And then you had Jake Matthews on the other side, brought in some other free agents. I mean, it really is a revamped offensive line that should help him, you know, find the healthy Julio Jones, the healthy Roddy White, and then your Levine Toilolos and Harry Douglas.
Right, and that's the other thing is you've got these new pieces. You've got the Levines. You've got, you know, somebody at number 4 or 5 or maybe even 6 is going to have to step up. So, you know, there are a lot of reasons right now why I feel like Matt Ryan should be in that conversation. This is a great question. I really feel like he is poised for that MVP type year, and we'll see how things pan out. But everybody remains healthy. I see no reason why not.
Absolutely. All right, from the Walker Man, 2003 saw a high number of UDFA, that would be undrafted free agent rookies, make the 53-man roster. In your mind, will 2014 continue the trend or reverse it?
I hope it reverses it. We were talking before we went on camera here is that, you know, you hope that you don't have to rely on so many undrafted guys. I mean, because it's there's two sides of it. It's you. It's great that you found some of these diamonds in the rough, right? Paul Warlow, Joplo Bartu, Ryan Schrader has a future. Taron Jones was on the practice squad and then got pulled up to, you know, the 53-man at one point. Adam Riplogel, who's now playing over on offensive line, they're moving him around. So you've got some pieces that you added last year among undrafted free agents. Oh, and Darius Johnson, who we mentioned, saw a lot of playing time last year. So you had this crop of young guys come in and really show out in camp and all that. But the other side of that is that, you know, maybe you didn't – you had some injuries. You had some spots that you didn't fill in other areas coming into the season. So you had to almost rely on some of those guys. So for me, it's like you hope that you have your one or two guys. And I think we identified a couple of those guys last week, and we'll see how that pans out. But I truly hope that there's enough talent in the draft that you brought in and also in free agency that you don't necessarily have to rely on so many undrafted guys.
Yeah, I think when you put the blueprint out there on how to build a championship team, you know, finding undrafted free agents to, you know, put as starters isn't on that blueprint. Now, guys can slip through the cracks and be passed over for different reasons, and that's great. And I think we found a few of those guys last year that are going to be, you know, a big part of this organization. But you know, that's not how you build the championship team when you have a blueprint.
It's not, and it's a credit to the scouting staff, absolutely, you know, for doing their homework on some of these guys and last year bringing in a bunch of guys who could compete. I think all things being equal, let's say Paul Warlow and Joplo Bartu came in this year as opposed to last year, I still think they would have a shot to make this because they're just good players. You know, so again, you kind of hope that maybe you don't need as many. It's always nice to hit those diamonds in the rough, but you know, you hope that the depth is there before you get into that situation.
From Chris Kurtz with two Z's. Do you see Desmond Southward as a chess piece to Nolan, like Bierman, considering he had time in college as a safety and a corner?
You know, I've seen a lot of question marks around Desmond Southward, and particularly because you've got Dwight Lowry, who comes in at safety. He's a veteran. He's been around. Again, we've talked about this, is that the big question about him is, can he stay healthy? And you know, if he can't, if there's some reason why he can't be on the field, Desmond Southward looks like a fantastic piece to plug in there. You know, head coach Mike Smith has said several times that we need to get Desmond Southward on the field. Now, my money, again, is still on Lowry to take that safety spot opposite William Moore, but I could really see Southward being maybe a piece that you move around a little bit. Maybe he sees time in some sub packages and you know, plays kind of maybe a dime. Maybe he comes in and we see a rotation at safety. I don't know what's going to happen there, but with Mike Smith saying several times that we need this guy on the field, this is a guy that we absolutely have to have on our defense, and not just special teams. I think he's going to be a stud on special teams, but on defense in particular, you know, Smitty has mentioned that this is a guy we've got to have out there. And considering Mike Nolan and his creativity on defense, I mean, it would only make sense to see this kid potentially put in a position where, you know, he's going to do some things that are unique to his skill set.
Yeah, I think I said last week, I see Keith Armstrong, special teams coach, having just as much fun with Desmond Southward as Nolan will, just because what I've seen out on practice, the kid, he can't be – you can't put one man on him and stop him from what I saw.
He's an absolute athlete, And for a guy who, you know, when the name was called in the draft, everybody was like, who's this guy? And even he was like – the Falcons, I didn't have a visit with them. They didn't interview me, nothing like that. And so now you're talking about potentially a piece that you can play around with in his rookie year. I mean, that's about as good as you can get, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
All right, from Sean Adamski, which coach has had a bigger impact on their respective lines thus far, Mike Tice or Brian Cox?
You know, this is a really tough question because I really feel like they both have. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like a cop-out answer, but it's really not. These two guys have come in, and they have really changed the dynamic. And, you know, Matt, you and I see a lot of stuff that fans don't get to see because we're behind the scenes and everything. But just the attitude and the way that guys are approaching practice, you see them in the hallway, they're upbeat, there's some fire there, there's some life there. And I think a lot of that comes from these two guys. They're very passionate coaches. I think when you're on the field, you're going to notice maybe Brian Cox a little more because he's just more outspoken. That's not to say Mike Tice won't get in somebody's rear end about something, but I feel like both of these guys have just developed relationships with all of the players under them, and they've bought in. They're embracing both of these guys. I haven't seen one situation where anybody's been, you know, down about anything. They know how to discipline these guys in a way that they can relate to and that has a true impact. I mean, any football player, anybody who's ever played football from Pee Wee on up has done an up-down before. And now we've seen NFL players out there doing up-downs. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but I mean, it really does have an impact on some of these guys. But they embrace it. It's that love-hate relationship, and I think it works.
And you definitely hear a change in the words used by the meeting rooms, and it's a little louder and a little more intense, like you said, when you walk by. So I think that's been a change as well. It's a nice change. You know, sometimes change is good, and for anyone, for us, for the digital media staff, for, you know, the personnel staff, sometimes just changing it up is good, and I think the intensity they've brought and the different, you know, the sleds are used a lot more with Mike Tice. Yeah. You know, just different drills. It can only be good.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about Brian Cox, and most of these guys remember mm-hmm. playing with him. Or not playing with him, but his playing days. So, you know, so I think that plays a part in it too. And Mike Tice has a reputation, obviously, as mm-hmm. a head coach, as a position coach, in his career, obviously as a player as well. But some of these young guys can still remember Mike Tice as a head coach, mm-hmm. and they can remember Brian Cox as a defensive star for the Jets and the Dolphins. So it's not that far removed from some of their memories, and I think that helps them maybe relate a little bit more to these guys.
All right, we've got two people have asked a similar question. We're going to ask it together. So we got from K-Songs, 23, do you think Devontae Freeman could be the running back of the future? And from Steven Brooklyn, do you expect Devontae Freeman to get significant reps with the first team during training camp and preseason?
Well, let me answer the last question first. And do I expect to see Devontae Freeman to get significant reps with the first team during training camp and preseason? I would say yes. There's two reasons why. One is you don't want Steven Jackson out there using up all his gas during mm-hmm. during preseason and in training camp. And honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw maybe two games or potentially three games where Steven Jackson doesn't even play in the preseason. You want to save him. And I think the other side of it is you do want to get looks at Freeman with the first team. And we've seen him in certain sets get some of those looks in OTAs and during minicamp. But I think during training camp, potentially, but I could see where, you know, during preseason games you see a whole lot of Devontae Freeman mm-hmm. out there. Now, whether that's with first team or second team or whatever, I don't know, but I feel like he's going to be the guy that maybe spells Steven Jackson during the preseason, because I don't see him taking a whole lot of reps. So it only makes sense that Freeman would be that guy to take over some of those reps. But I mean, it stands to reason that could happen. Now, do I think that he could be the running back of the future? I think only time will truly tell there, and I'd hate to say something and have somebody come back 2 years later and say, hey, you remember that time you said? But yeah. all the pieces are in place for him to, I think, be a feature back in this league. You know, I'm just going to say, let's wait and see, but I think the pieces are there.
The other thing on that real quick is, I think the way the NFL, the road it's traveled in is going is, I don't know that there is such thing as the running back of the future. Yeah. So you've got to have, you know, multiple guys in place. And I think it's a, you know, having Steven Jackson, Quiz, and now Freeman, and some other guys that are vying for a roster spot as well. That's kind of your running back of the future as you go through. You know, and it's not just one guy anymore.
Exactly. And I think, you know, a guy like Antoine Smith has as much possibility of being the running back of the future at this point. So the preseason and training camp is going to be really interesting at this position because I think you're going to – somebody's going to have to emerge because, you know, Steven Jackson's not going to be around forever.
All right. So now last question, and it's a winning question. So I have two bucket hats. And the reason I have two bucket hats is because I just got the other bucket hat for the winner last week. So
yes, Swami.
Both being mailed out today.
Yeah.
And so, the winning question for the bucket hat, and by the way, these are the last two bucket hats we're giving away. We're giving away something else next week, but it will not be a bucket hat. So congrats to you guys. This is from Dr. Mark.
Dr. Mark.
613. What kind of doctor are you, Mark?
I don't know. Let's find out.
How does the team plan on using Malachi Goodman? More of a 3-4 DN or a 3-4 linebacker? That's a good question. That is a winning question.
It is. And I liked it because, you know, on day three of minicamp, veteran minicamp, I'm out there and I'm watching practice, and I noticed where Malachi Goodman was, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And there wasn't really a place where it's like you, as a, somebody who reports on the team, you get a lot of different pieces of information, and that was just one of those pieces that, you know, ends up at the bottom of the notebook, and you don't really do much with it. But I saw Malachi Goodman in a position where he was playing a 3-4 defensive end, but then they went to 4-3. And he's playing defensive tackle. And I think that would surprise a lot of people. He's getting looks there. And, you know, Smitty loves cross-training these guys at a lot of different positions. So that's not to say that Goodman's going to be a defensive tackle. But I think getting him looks there is really smart because this is a big guy who's got – he can create some separation. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be really interesting to see where he exactly fits into this defensive scheme. But I thought this was just a really good question because of where he is. I see him way less at linebacker. I honestly haven't seen him take a snap at linebacker. So I think that's out. He's going to have his hand in the dirt, and whether it's 3-4 defensive end or shifting inside, but he is much more of a five tech like Tyson Jackson. So this is a guy I'm going to keep an eye on for sure because I thought he had an outstanding rookie season for the situations that he was thrown into. This is a guy that could have a lot of upside. And depending on how he reacts to the maybe a little position change or a little cross-training, could go a long way.
I'm looking forward to a lot of guys like him and Mapunga and Masakoi. Just really maybe taking that next step and seeing these guys, you know, kind of, you know, you hit that rookie wall last year and then, you know, you're able to refresh, learn some things, watch some things on film. And then I really think there's a group of guys like that that are ready to take that next step.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important point, especially when you talk about the big question and the big, maybe complaint is that you know, where's the pass rush? There hasn't been any pieces added. Well, you've also got to factor in the development of your own players, and that's a big thing that I think we sometimes forget, you know, especially when you see teams, they add the Jadeveon Clowneys or you know, the Jared Allens or whoever. You know, there's something to be said about drafting your guys, sticking with your guys, and then developing them. And I think that you identified some very key guys. I'm expecting huge things out of Jonathan Masakoi after all I've heard this offseason during OTAs, during mini camps. This guy has totally stood out, and you know, he could be your solution there. Is he? I don't know. We'll have to see. You've got Croy Bierman back. You've got Stanley Mapunga, who everything that we heard when we drafted him is just ton of upside on this kid. Mm-hmm. So let's see what these pieces can really do for us on the field. But I think it's important not to forget those second and third year guys who are still developing.
All right, great questions from everyone. We really appreciate it. And congrats on the bucket hats, Dr. Mark. We really appreciate you tuning into this edition of FalconCast. Jay, we got another week. Next week we'll do this again. And then
we're going to take a break.
Might take a break. FalconCast might go to summer camp.
Summer camp.
Spend the night summer camp. But thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Atlanta Falcons FalconCast podcast.